Hey, Carrie.
Hi, Debbie. Happy Tuesday. What's going down?
Well, I'm talking to you today, and I am very happy to be doing that, I must tell you.
Well, me too. Thank you.
I am going to be totally honest with you up front. I was never a big fan of Hayden's. You changed that for me. She is spectacular in this film. Spectacular.
Oh, that makes me so happy. She is spectacular. She knocked it out of the park. She brought it. You could tell, like, yeah, I mean, that's a wonderful compliment. Like, that's very, you know, that's awesome. I'm glad that you felt that way, because I felt that way watching her.
You brought something out in her that I honestly didn't know she had in her, based on prior things I've seen her in over the years. She is absolutely riveting here. Her chemistry with Tyler, the two of them just feed off of each other. And the minute you have Jack getting into the front seat with Shane, the entire tone of the film shifts. We feel the tension, the urgency, and you just hammer it. You got pedal to the metal the rest of the way. But that moment is so pivotal when the two of them completely connect and become acting as one. Just phenomenal, Carrie.
Oh, that's so nice of you. That's nice to hear, you know. Not many people have seen the film. I've been trying to get this made over 10 years, so to hear, like, a lot of cool, positive stuff, you know, selfishly just makes me feel good, so I appreciate it. And you obviously saw and understood what I always kind of envisioned and wanted, you know, like, two ordinary people come together and do something extraordinary, and having Hayden, you know, with Tyler... Tyler's so charming.
Yeah.
So just, you know, you could feel like you could talk and hang out, and good that he'll take you to a barbecue and be best friends with him. But yet he's like kind of reserved. And it's like, I just really like how they came together and made something special. So thank you.
We really feel them bond as the tension of the situation ratchets up. And that front seat move just changes the whole dynamic. And it leads them. We just keep seeing them connect deeper and deeper and deeper and building. Especially when we get to that nighttime, I call it the confessional scene in the car, where each of them bears their soul to each other with their deep secrets that have made them who they are. That is a tearjerker. A tearjerker.
Yeah. That scene is beautiful. I remember, like, kind of, I remember exactly where we were, and, like, I just, like, the emotions watching them, and I remember a couple people watching, like, I saw a couple tears, and it was just, like, whoa. Like, you could tell, like, first off, they're professionals. They've done this, but then they just took this material and... you know, did something that I, you know, we wrote this, but, like, I couldn't have imagined that it would be this good and this emotional, and yet, you know, not trying to be heavy-handed or not trying to be cheesy or just, like, hitting it perfectly, and they just, to me, they knocked it out of the park.
Absolutely. I cannot imagine a better pairing of protagonists than you have here with Hayden and Tyler.
Yeah, no. The perfect people, and they elevated the material so much. It was like such a joy to, like, creatively work with them. You know, they took a risk on me. They didn't know me. I'm not, you know, a big name or anything, but the material, the script was awesome. We knew we had an amazing script. We just needed to get a good cast that would come take this journey with us.
And in addition to Hayden and Tyler, you bring in one of my longtime faves, Kevin Dunn, who can do no wrong in my opinion, and he's wonderful as Sergeant Casey. He is
the best.
Oh my God. But a real revelation for me was Saida Ugolona, who plays Cece. Wow.
She was a sweetheart. She was good. She had great ideas. You know, it's nice working with individuals who, like, dig deep into the material, you know, that I don't have to, you know, walk hand in hand with everything. That I love collaborating with people who are smarter and more talented than I am. You know?
Well, you have a great collaborative ensemble here, even though the bulk of the film really is Hayden and Tyler. But where you really knock it out of the park, beyond their performances, is with your editing and the cinematography. Who is the editor on this film, Carrie?
That's my partner in crime, Josh, who wrote the film with me. Josh has edited all of my other films. Josh, we write our films. He's a storyteller. He's a filmmaker. You know, he's not a button pusher. He's my confidant. He's great. He edited the film. I'm excited to tell him that you said that.
Oh my God! Yeah, because I didn't write his name down while I was watching the credits roll, and I figured, I'll get it off of IMDb, and it's not listed on IMDb with the film.
Josh, he wrote the film with me, and the thing that was great is like we've had this script for 10 years, you know. So it's like Josh came out to Kentucky, and he would take all the footage, you know. We already kind of knew how it was. He would be laying down scenes for us, and then it's so awesome to work with someone who's so smart and is a storyteller, where things got switched around that were better edited a certain way that were, you know, in the script. So it was it was nice.
This is a tough film to edit, number one, and I think anybody that saw Stephen Knight's film of Locke understands that, where the bulk of the film is contained within the vehicle. I mean, In Locke, the whole film is in the vehicle. Here, the bulk of your film is in the vehicle. So you rely on your cinematographer here. You've got Luca Bazzelli, who does a beautiful job inside the car, keeps changing the angles, but we're also seeing outside the car. So we see green fields, we see the world passing by. So we never get claustrophobic, and the eye is continually being led in different directions so that we are engaged. And this then falls on Josh with his cutting. It is crisp, it is sharp, it's rapier. He finds that emotional tone and builds tension at the same time. I love the flashes and the snippets of quick snapshots of information about Charlotte. The, you know, white shoes, pink socks, and we just get a clip, you know, just a flash of an image. Nothing holds on it.
Yeah.
Just
smart things.
Smart.
Some of those inserts weren't in the script either, to be honest with you. You know, so that is, you'd be surprised. I mean, you obviously know, but like, you know, your film is made in the editing room. You know, we just have to have enough good material, which we did, but there were some gems, some great things that Josh was able to do, and that just sitting down, it was nice to, like, you know, the stress of production is crazy. You know, it's just like this never-ending marathon, and then it's like, oh my gosh, we finished, and then you can kind of, like, settle in a little in the editing bay, and like creatively try to find out other ways to tell the story. It's just an emotional roller coaster trying to do everything, where you're like, this is awesome. I don't know, is it awesome? And then, you know, it's like all over the place.
What the editing tells me, what Josh has done, it tells me he was listening to the dialogue and what was being said, because white shoes, pink socks, it stands out when the mother says it, when Cece is repeating it, when Jack, she's trying to recall something she might have seen through the blackened windows. And it's, you know, white shoes, pink socks. And it's just a quick little glimpse.
We had to set that up a couple times before, so then the audience isn't like, wait, what is this white sock? You know?
Yeah.
Like, we had to give them a couple chances to get that. So then it's that aha moment right at the end where everyone is now involved on with
right. Also, you know, the driving aspect. Luca does a great job with the camera work and showing as Shane's fingers grip the steering wheel a little tighter as he's accelerating to over 100 miles an hour and then decelerating as fear is setting in. Are they getting too close? Is the guy going to stop and come after them? Is he going to do something to Charlotte? You hold for an uncomfortable silence in various parts that really puts the fear of God in you as you're watching this. Just amazing. And then you get us to the third act and inside the kidnapper's house. And wow. Wow. Carrie.
Debbie, I just want to hang out with you all day. And you're a good hype person. I feel like you're making me very happy right now.
Well, I'm glad you made me very happy watching this film. Because this is not a typical in the car film. It's not what we've seen. We've seen horror films, psychological thrillers with Uber drivers, Lyft drivers. We've seen Amber Alert films before. We haven't seen a blend like this that utilizes the best of both aspects of the stories.
I like that you say that because that's how Josh and I and Summer, my wife who produced the film, like, that's how we were talking about this all the time. Like, okay, this is what we want to do. We're going to mesh this. This is, you know, where it is a parent's worst nightmare horror mixed with the thriller of the time clock is going, you know? And so, you know, we've been trying to get this made for 10 years. So there's been so many iterations of it. It has sucked. But at the same time, it's given us so much time to, like, try so many different ideas that the one we did was the best idea. And I can almost challenge other people, well, tell me why this wouldn't have worked and why this did. And, well, if you did this, we know it wouldn't work here. Because we've had so much time to figure out this chessboard.
Mm-hmm. And also, with the time you've had over the past 10 years, since you did your proof of concept back in 2011, 2012, technology has changed. And the whole idea of the Uber Lyft drive, that whole thing has just exploded as a means of transportation around the country and even around the world. And technology with Amber Alerts and all that has exploded. So the passage of time really allowed you to pull the best and the strongest elements and weave them into this script.
Absolutely, yeah. And so we were able, you know, I was able to, like, reimagine it in a way of, you know, it has the same hook. Okay, what would you do? But, like, this is a film that I always wanted to make when Summer and I saw the Amber Alert,
mm-hmm.
you know? This is the film, but since we had no money, we kind of had to settle on something, which I still love, and it's amazing, and all, you know, I love that film so much. But this was like, okay, we can layer the film. We have texture. We can go to police officers. We can see the mom's reaction. Like, there's so many things that we were able to do to just make this, like, just a bigger film that still feels small and intense, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. And something that you also do is, you know, the film opens, we see Charlotte in the park, her mom, her grandma, her baby brother, and everything's green, the grass is green, the sun is shining, the sky is blue. And then the minute mom turns around and Charlotte's gone, then you pull back. Color really is stripped, and we get into a lot of gray, muted grays. Even as we're driving along the highways, it's cloudy, it's overcast. The sun is not shining anymore. You've got Jack dressed in a dark suit, very stark, dark suit, white shirt. You've got Shane dressed in dark colors inside the car. We have Charlotte in a black vehicle with tinted, very heavily tinted windows. But outside, a pallor now falls, and that is so fantastic, the way that you did that. And we don't really see the introduction of color, so to speak, until that third act in the kidnapper's house, where you've got Luca making use of negative space in this incredible design that your production designer, Sally, came up with for this interior. Yeah. And we
Sally,
see, and then we see pinks muted. They're dirty, but still, there's pink. They're childish things. There's some sparkles. So that you have bookended this visually so wonderfully, Carrie. So wonderfully.
Oh, you're right. Listen, I had I love making films and collaborating, but I had so many smart, creative people that I was working with that just helped elevate this movie very much. Luca was my partner in crime. He was so good to work with. You know, Sally, our production designer, you know, our gaffer, like, you know, our script supervisor, Taylor, Derek, our sound mixer, like, everyone from every department is so critical. I know this, you know, I started out, I PA'd for years,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I know every aspect of filmmaking. And you know, to our awesome craft service team. It was one of our producer's parents that came out. Like, everyone was there to help me. They knew my story with Summer and I, and that we've been trying to make this film, and everyone, it was like, all right, we're going to give it our all, because, like, they genuinely loved us, and we loved them, and so we wanted to go make something that we would all be really proud to make. And yeah. I think we definitely pulled that off.
Oh, absolutely. I've got to ask you, Carrie, was Lucas shooting handheld inside the kidnapper house as we're going through the maze of that incredible design that Sally came up with?
Yeah, there was. Sometimes he was. I'd say the majority of the time he did. Yeah, he was really good at that. What I love about Luca is he is like, Summer says this a lot, like, he can have Fruit Loops or caviar in the sense of he could do a $100 million movie, but yet he's smart enough that he could strip everything and make a $100,000 movie.
Right.
I love Luca because he's resourceful and he wants to serve the story. And, he, you know, sometimes it was hard, you know. We couldn't get everything I wanted, or my storyboards would get chucked out, and we're like, all right, Luca, you know, let's strap on the camera. And he did amazing things for us. And he's just such a joy to spend time. I mean, everyone, the hang on Amber Alert was phenomenal. Like, everyone was good people. You know, I'll tell you one thing, though, that happened that was super sad. It was, well, not now, but on our last day, we had 19 days to shoot this film. And at our 19th day, and we were shooting nights, and the SAG strike was going to happen at midnight.
Oh, God.
And so we planned it perfectly, and it started to rain, and it started to light. Lightning started to settle in. It was just lightning was going so hard, and we had to call the second half of the night. And I was just like beside myself. I don't know, I might have curled up in a corner crying or not, maybe, you know, maybe not, but I was like, the film isn't done, the SAG strike, like, what is going to happen? Tyler had to hop on a plane at 6 a.m. he was leaving. And everyone, you know, came back for one last day on Monday. Hayden, they gave us they had a little extension, and Hayden stuck around and was supposed to be somewhere. And miraculously this day that, like, you know, ruined everything, and we were able to get one last day to, like, finish strong, and it gave us extra time to do things a little nicer. Mm-hmm. So as much as it was terrible and sucked in the moment, it totally worked out and played in our favor.
Want to ask you about working with Sally and her design for the multi-layers and textures within the kidnapper's house. Did you and Josh have an idea when you were writing this in its present form, how you wanted that to be? How collaborative were your discussions with Sally? Because that is such a key element of this film in that third act.
Sally was great, because Sally always wanted to pick my brain, and I would tell her, I wouldn't maybe say, like, we need this, this, or that. I would just tell her emotions and feelings and what I feel needs to happen. And she took those things and was able to do magnificent things with them. You know, we were all, like, she's so good and enjoyable and fun to work with and would give options. And I also love, you know, I think she had a wonderful, you know, dangerous feminine touch, if that mm-hmm. makes sense.
Yeah. So,
like, you know, it was good to have her. And we were also, our location scout found this house. That was one house that was built in 1900. If you go outside to the front of that house, it has the family's name and written on the stairs, on the staircase.
Ooh.
But he found that house, and it was like, whoa. Like, we were able, and she was able to, like, layer it. There was so much house, and her team were awesome. And we're so, I'm very lucky that they spent so much time just getting that house into a place that I really liked. So it's good to hear that you really appreciate that.
Well, and I think she must have cleaned out the dollar bins at Target and at the 99-cent stores for decorating the little girl room.
Yes. She was so resourceful. Her team, like, she did. She, you know, this is not a big film with, like, that we have everything. Everyone from top to bottom was very resourceful.
All of those resources, the resourcefulness, and your stick-to-itiveness to hang in there for 10, 11 years to get this film done, Carrie, it has paid off. This is just mesmerizing, riveting. You cannot look away from this film. It really, it's a cat and mouse game, but with stakes that are as high as you can get, a child's life. And you all just knocked it out of the park. Knocked it out of the park, Carrie.
Oh, Debbie, you rock. Thank you so much. I appreciate all your kind words. I'm glad that you enjoy it. And yeah, thank you for spreading the good word. You know, we don't have that Marvel marketing budget, so I need people like you to just help and spread the word. So thank you very much.
The minute the embargo lifts for me, I think it's sometime next week. I have it in my calendar. I will definitely be posting and writing and talking about Amber Alert.
Love it. Thank you so much.
Carrie, thank you so much. And I hope we get to speak again in the future.
I do too. Thank you so much. I appreciate you, Debbie.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right.